Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage's completely online process lets you get a custom mortgage solution wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point from Philadelphia and the Democratic National Convention. It is day two of the convention, and we are here in the thick of the action. Last night, political stars Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, and Michelle Obama took the stage. So did Bernie Sanders, who urged supporters to vote for Hillary Clinton. Not all Sanders are ready to follow the burn. Sanders supporters are ready to follow the burn over to Hillary. They're protesting in the streets. They're booing loudly inside the arena. We've seen plenty of them walking by us wearing Bernie or Bust or Never Hillary t-shirts. Now what? This hour on Point, we are in Philadelphia looking at the Bernie factor and the fate of Hillary Clinton. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Bernie supporters, are you ready to say, I'm with her? Are you persuaded that a Clinton presidency would include a progressive agenda? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. It was wild in the hall last night. A little montage here from CNN's New Day.
Hillary Clinton must become the next president of the United States.
United, we are strong. When we are indivisible, we are invincible.
Trump thinks he can win votes by fanning the flames of fear and hatred.
Bernie Sanders, Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren right there, and on it went with cheers and boos, lots of boos as well. We're going to hear in a few minutes from Raul Grijalva, the Arizonan who was the first member of Congress to endorse Bernie Sanders. He's now backing Hillary Clinton. But first, joining me here in the convention hall in Philadelphia, Juana Summers, editor for CNN Politics. Juana, welcome back to On Point. It is great to have you right here.
Thanks for having me back.
It was something else last night. Jamel Bowie joins us in just a moment. Do I have him now? Good. He's through security. Jamel, we've got you on the phone. Jamel Bowie, chief political correspondent for Slate. Jamel, thank you very much for jumping on the phone. I hope you're with us in a couple of minutes out of security, my friend.
I will be there in a few minutes, but thank you for having me.
Jamel Bowie, on foot, on the way. You've got to roll with the punches in a convention. Everybody learned that last night. Big lineup of speakers last night. And maybe the one who took the cake, who really took the audience in the hall to tears and more, was Michelle Obama. She described here, in a kind of, without naming him, at a pretty sharp dig at Donald Trump, she described what kind of person, the First Lady said, it takes to be president.
Someone who understands that the issues a president faces are not black and white and cannot be boiled down to 140 characters. Look, because when you have the nuclear codes at your fingertips and the military in your command, you can't make snap decisions. You can't have a thin skin or a tendency to lash out. You need to be steady and measured and well-informed.
And then the First Lady from that podium with the crowd really wrapped around her finger. This was the one time when there were not so many Bernie chants in the hall, maybe none, turned one First Lady to another to throw her support solidly behind Hillary Clinton.
I am here tonight because in this election, there is only one person who I trust with that responsibility. Only one person who I believe is truly qualified to be president of the United States, and that is our friend, Hillary Clinton.
Juana Summers, Jamel Bowie, we'll turn to Bernie Sanders in just a moment, but that was some speech last night and some moment as the crowd responded to her. What was it about her delivery, her message, that got the crowd in the hall last night so wrapped around Michelle Obama's delivery?
Tom, I think what Michelle Obama, the First Lady, did really well there is she wove the personal and the political together. We don't often hear the First Lady come out and speak politically, but here you did hear her swipe at Donald Trump without using his name any number of times, coming out and saying, you know, he doesn't have the temperament, was essentially the core of her argument. But what I think was most fascinating is just the evolution of the relationship between the Obamas and the Clintons.
Yes.
If you remember back in 2008, Michelle Obama, who has a fiercely protective political
spouse,
there was a very chilly relationship, and now you you have her standing up and saying, in what I think was the best argument of the night, that Hillary Clinton is the person who she trusts with the future of her two daughters, the two black young women that she and Barack Obama have raised in the White House. And that was just very striking to me.
I would put my children in the care of this person, this woman, Hillary Clinton, as president, and by inference, would not choose to put them in the care of Donald Trump. Jamel Bowie, it was so generous. You felt a kind of a fellow feeling, a kinship between women who know a lot about the White House, though neither has been president, in that sort of what she would have as a kind of passing of the crown to Hillary Clinton. I guess that's the wrong language, but she would see Hillary do it and stood up for her and said, go, girl.
Yeah, I think that's exactly
woman.
Right. I mean, the universe of people who have been in the position of either Hillary Clinton or Michelle Obama is extremely small. And so it brings a lot of weight for Michelle Obama to say that she trusts Hillary Clinton with her children, with the country, to continue her husband's legacy. I spoke to people after this speech, and I even gave a call to my mom, who is sort of my personal focus group.
Yes.
And the overwhelming reaction was one of just awe and amazement, and people were very, very impressed. There was no hesitation to praise Michelle Obama's speech. And so my hunch is that when we begin to look at the polls after all of this, I think Obama's speech will loom very large as one of the things that that gave Clinton a boost.
Jamel, pull the curtain back there on the feeling of that night. And just how fractious and wild it was on the floor there. I mean, people shouting all night long, shouting Bernie, shouting for Hillary as well. But give us a sense of just how much that went on, the booing, the shouting, the wild stuff from the floor in the hall.
So early on, and I think anyone who was there from about 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock, there was plenty of booing. There was the early speakers, there was booing. You could hear it definitely in the audience. I assume if you were watching a broadcast, you could probably hear it too.
Oh, yeah,
but,
absolutely.
By the time we get to Obama, and I think of really Obama's the pivot point, that Obama's terse but ultimately almost loving chastising of those who were angry with their loss. I think cut to the bone. I think Bernie supporters were listening, and they kind of realized that they may have been acting a little untoward. And so after that, the booing disappears completely.
But there's plenty before that. I mean, Juana, give us a sense. Just last week in Cleveland, here there was some booing, about Ted Cruz and a little more, and the press went crazy. I mean, the booing here has been unrelenting. And all day yesterday, before even we got to the hall, meetings downtown, Bernie Sanders booed when he spoke up for Hillary Clinton. There has been a Hillary chance aplenty also, but it's been a contest all the time.
There have, and I think that you have a loud faction of Bernie Sanders supporters. They are not willing to go quietly into the night. They feel like the language that I keep hearing is that the system is rigged against them, that the election was stolen, that they want Bernie Sanders, that Hillary Clinton is not an effective substitute. And so you hear those people loudly even shouting down their own candidate who has been reaching out to his own delegates, reaching out to his own supporters through surrogates and saying, you know, we want to work together. We want to come together. They're not following their candidate's own language. So to see what happens this evening when we have the roll call begin to officially nominate Hillary Clinton.
And he's got a ton of delegates in there, almost 1,900 delegates.
He does. And those are delegates that, as we saw in 2008, are likely to go ahead and cast some votes for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what the tenor and what the tone is this evening, given all that's come to pass before and the amount of discord among Democrats.
What matters ultimately, of course, is how people come out of this week and what they do leading up to November, how they vote. But here was Bernie himself. This is even before last night, speaking at a meeting downtown, saying, we've got to support Hillary, we've got to support Tim Kaine, and listen for a little, some cheering here, but then listen to the boos by Bernie supporters, boos for what Bernie's saying about endorsing Hillary Clinton.
Immediately, right now, we have got to defeat Donald Trump. And we have got to elect Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine.
Boo, boo, boo. It showered down on him. And you could see in his face, oh, my gosh, this is not going to be easy to turn this crowd. And then last night they waited through all those speeches. And then here it was Bernie's turn, and they cheered him as he came to the podium. That is the sound of the big hall we're sitting right next to right now. And Bernie Sanders saying, hey, we've done a lot already. We've got a revolution going on here to warm up the crowd.
Together, my friends, we have begun a political revolution to transform America. And that revolution, our revolution, continues.
And after his laundry list of reasons, he says we have to support Hillary Clinton. She must be the next president.
By these measures, any objective observer will conclude that based on her ideas and her leadership, Hillary Clinton must become the next president of the United States.
Jamil Bowie, are you looking at the numbers? She needs a lot of his supporters. She needs almost all of his supporters. From what we can see so far, is she lined up to get them? From what you hear, from what you see in the polls?
I think so. The Pew Research Center just put out a big survey, sort of drawn from surveys in December and March and April and May and in June. And what they found is that 90% of consistent Bernie Sanders supporters, people who supported him from the beginning through the entire primaries to the end, support Hillary Clinton in the general election. Of people who switched from Hillary to Clinton, from Hillary to Bernie, 88% support Clinton in the general election. So what we're talking about when we think of talking about the dissidents and discontents is probably no more than 10%. And my hunch about these people is that these are likely folks who wouldn't have been voting for a Democratic ticket anyway. They're your Green Party voters. They're your people who are already a bit disconnected from mainstream party politics.
Will they come around? Is it enough? Is 90% enough for Hillary, Juana?
I do think it is. And if you look, CNN just released a poll. So the Pew poll looked at those consistent Bernie voters. Our poll looked at overall the universe of Bernie Sanders supporters. And we found that 65% of Sanders supporters will back Hillary Clinton compared to, I believe the number is 11% who had backed Donald Trump. One thing to note about the optics and what we're hearing here in the convention center and how that plays out on a national stage is the people who come to conventions, the people who serve as delegates, who stand out in the blistering heat here in Philly, they're diehards. They're not your average rank and file voter. So it's very, we want to make sure that we're not over extrapolating what these people mean and what they could mean for the general.
It matters for the fate of the general election, Hillary Clinton's candidacy in that election. Bernie Sanders supporters, very, very prominent at the Democratic National Convention. Jamil Bowie with Slate. Please stand by. And Juana Summers, editor for CNN Politics. We're talking about the Bernie factor now. Listeners, you can join us. What did you hear in all that roaring in the hall last night? Is this a party that can come together, should come together? And Sanders supporters, where do you stand today? I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about day one of the Democratic National Convention and what happens now with the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party, the Bernie factor. Now, you can join us this hour. Sanders supporters, what did you see and hear last night? What are you ready to do today? What about November? Is it time to stand with Hillary Clinton? Is it time to battle on? Can you do both if you want that political revolution? In Philadelphia with Juana Summers, editor for CNN Politics, and Jamil Bowie, Slate's chief political correspondent, both with us here in Philadelphia. Sarah Silverman took the stage last night. Comedian, supported Bernie Sanders during the primary quite prominently, said she would support Clinton and others should as well.
I am proud to be a part of Bernie's movement, and a vital part of that movement is making absolutely sure that Hillary Clinton is our next president of the United States. Booyah, Baba Booey.
Booyah, Baba Booey. But she and Al Franken, Senator Franken, up there on that stage, at times almost drowned out by boos in the hall. Sarah Silverman, she knows how to go off the cuff, and here she did for just a minute, took a whack or at least a shot at the Bernie or bust people.
The Bernie, can I just say, to the Bernie or bust people, you're being ridiculous.
We're going to hear in just a moment from the Bernie or bust person. Jamil, Juana callers for us right here. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Adam is calling. Adam, thank you for calling. You're on the air. What did you see? What are you thinking?
Hi, Tom. I've been a very fervent supporter of Hillary from the beginning, but I was actually really impressed with Bernie's speech last night. You know, I think he did a great job of emphasizing how progressive the platform of Hillary and the party is going forward, as well as really underlining the extreme importance of the Supreme Court nominations. And to me, it made it clear, for me at least, that in order for the Sanders supporters to ensure their quote-unquote revolution continues, the Democrats have to have a very strong showing in November from the local to national level. And in my opinion, and I think what Bernie made clear as well, is that by risking a Trump presidency by staying home or casting a protest vote, that would be the way to end the revolution, not continue it. Thank you.
So you see a lot of Bernie in the platform. We're going to look at the platform here before this hour is over. Let me get one more call, and we'll go to that. Elizabeth in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Elizabeth, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for having me. I love your show. I'm a libertarian, and I voted for Bernie in the primary here in Virginia. And after watching the convention last night, I was so disappointed in Bernie, but especially in Elizabeth Warren. When the crowd was shouting, "We trusted you," I felt like that is exactly how I feel. My number one concern politically is corruption and money in politics. And I feel like Hillary is a step in the very wrong direction with regard to those issues.
So what are you going to do, Elizabeth? What are you going to do?
I was planning to vote for Gary Johnson, but after last night, I'm considering Trump just as a way of expressing my dissent and unhappiness with politics as they are now.
And if he wins, what do you imagine you'll think of politics as they are then?
I have no idea what a Trump presidency would look like, which is the reason why I am hesitant to vote for him. But my husband and I were talking about it this morning after listening to your podcast from last night, and we feel like maybe turning over the tables with something completely different is the only way to set the stage for a better president in 2020.
Be careful what you ask for, Elizabeth. Be careful. You'll make your own decision. I appreciate your call as well. All right, Jamelle Bouie and Juana Summers, you're listening with me right here. Juana, I'm going to come first to you. You've talked with a lot of Sanders supporters over time. You hear these two calls coming in right now, and one there from Elizabeth, who has been a big supporter, disappointed. Describe the motivations for the real, you know, true to the bone Sanders supporters that have difficulty coming around. What is it about their motivation, their vision, their inspiration they've had that makes it difficult for them to say, "No, okay, I'll take it over to Hillary"?
Sure. So for so many of the Sanders supporters that I spoke to, both during the primary and more recently, they feel like Bernie Sanders is the first time the national political spotlight has been on a candidate who shares their values, who has prioritized issues like money and politics, as I believe Elizabeth, the other caller, spoke about, has prioritized corruption, has talked about having not just tepid change at the fringes, but a political revolution. Mm-hmm. So for them, a Hillary Clinton presidency isn't enough. And I think there's something else there that's really interesting that gets at the Sarah Silverman quote you played. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of these Bernie Sanders supporters here in Philadelphia and elsewhere, they reject being told that they should vote for Hillary Clinton, that they should come on board, or that they must, or that Hillary Clinton deserves their vote. One woman was telling me that she doesn't believe Hillary Clinton's earned her vote. She wants to vote for the first female president one day. She wants to get behind a Democratic candidate, but she doesn't feel like the vote is earned, and she resents being told by the Clinton people, "Oh, well, you've made some gains, such as in the platform, so you should go along to get along."
Yep.
They don't like being talked to that way, and I think that's what makes comments like what we heard from Sarah Silverman not particularly I think it's a little bit tone deaf, actually, if the greater goal is to get this group of supporters to go along and get along.
Jamelle, how would you describe what makes it so difficult for some Sanders supporters to come over from Bernie to Hillary?
So I said earlier that I had a suspicion that some of these Sanders supporters are people who weren't normally engaged in party politics, that they basically exist at the fringes. And I think Elizabeth, the second caller, gets to that. She is a libertarian, which is not a widely held ideological position. I think most Americans wouldn't even be able to identify what that meant. And she said she was considering voting for Gary Johnson. That, to me, suggests someone who doesn't normally engage in this kind of party politics.
Because if they did, they would find these just sensible
routine
about these.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And so with that said, I think part of the difficulty in getting these most fervent Sanders supporters into the fold is that there is a longstanding tradition of essentially American anti-politics, sort of engaging with the political world under the assumption that the typical give and take of Democratic politics is in some sense tainted. Bernie indulged in that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Some of his corruption talk touched on that. Mm-hmm. And I think he really resonated with those voters who very much see any kind of standard issue politics as being in some sense tainted or impure.
Just won't go there, just can't go there.
Just
and after,
go
after
there.
The WikiLeaks emails over the weekend,
right.
That really got fired up. We've got more callers, and I'll come to them in just a moment, but I want to go right now to a Vermont delegate for Bernie Sanders, who I think is a Bernie or bust person. We'll see what she's thinking this morning. Ashley Andres joins us from Philadelphia. Ashley, thank you very much for joining us for a minute here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
If it comes down to a choice, in the major parties between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, what will you do?
Well, at this time right now, I still don't know. I'm still not committed to voting for Hillary, but I'm certainly not attempting to force that view on other people or tell Bernie people who are supporting Hillary, no, don't do that. I'm still trying to handle not being able to vote my conscience.
Were you a Bernie or Buster? Are you softening on that after last night's speech from Bernie Sanders?
I think that I've never really gone around touting the Bernie or Bust slogan, but it's really compelling sometimes to want to. I think right now the way I'm feeling is I don't even want to vote. I'm feeling like I don't want to vote. I'm seeing hopeful things, though. Being here at the convention is, there's a lot of Bernie people who are inspiring, but the inspiration to vote for Hillary is not coming from the Hillary campaign or Hillary supporters. It's coming from the Bernie supporters here who are trying to encourage us and keep us in the movement, and kind of, you know, take our losses and cope with them.
Ashley, stand by. I want to get you into conversation here with others who are kind of facing the same challenge that you are right now, trying to decide where you're going to head. We've got Sharon calling from Ravenna, Ohio. Sharon, thank you for calling. You're on the air with Ashley Andries.
Yes. Interestingly, both my husband and I, we both voted for Bernie in the primary. He actually voted for George W. Bush, believe it or not, in 2000. I'm definitely in the Hillary camp, and Donald Trump is just somebody I can't even fathom as a president. My husband can't fathom him as a president either, and he just doesn't know what he's going to do yet. I think eventually he'll come around to Hillary, but I know he won't vote for Trump, and I don't think he'll vote independent. He might just leave it blank. Where are we at in our family?
What would you say to our guest Ashley, who has been almost in the Bernie or Bust camp and is still not decided what to do? What would you say to her, Sharon, this morning?
I believed in everything he stood for, but if you let Donald Trump be president, he's going to drag us backwards. And when we finally get somebody in there again, a really good progressive in there, if you're looking for somebody later, he's going to have to drag us so much further, because Donald Trump is going to drag us backwards economically, politically, Supreme Court justices, all of that. And if you want to be drugged backwards, then don't vote or vote for an independent, but that's what's going to happen.
Hillary Andries, what do you say to that argument from your fellow Bernie Sanders supporter?
So I respect that, and logically I see that and I can agree with that, but there's a real moral dilemma in being bullied and kind of pushed to vote based on fear. All of this has been very fear-based, and that's not the Democratic Party. That's the Republican Party, and I consider myself more of an independent until Bernie joined the Democratic Party, and he gave a great gift to this party because we're here, and we're not being recognized like we should be, his delegates at this convention. So I would just say that I have a really hard time swallowing people using the Trump card for a reason to vote for Hillary. I understand that it's a scary concept, but it's a really morally flawed, in my opinion.
Ashley, stand by. Jamel Bowie, and I should say a couple of things here. One, we're now getting word, it's reported by NBC, that Bernie Sanders will be the one who officially nominates Hillary Clinton as the Democrats' nominee for the presidency after the vote of all the delegates this evening, of a role that I'm not sure we knew earlier that he would play. So they're still working this. Here we stand today when you look at what has been adopted into the Democrats' platform at this or in advance of this convention. Is that a strong signal that you would have a more progressive Clinton presidency if that's what it should be? It's the most liberal platform, progressive platform adopted in many years, or is that just window dressing and on she would or could go in a more centrist path?
You know, in most years, I would say that it was just window dressing. It's very rare to see a president mm-hmm. sort of follow through on what's in the platform. Platforms say all kinds of things. But it's worth noting that in years where platform fights are very contentious, in years of very contentious platforms or very contentious primaries mm-hmm. that are over what are ideological issues, those platforms that come out of those years tend to matter more. And when you consider the extent to which Bernie Sanders has put a high premium on the platform and that he'll still be playing a part in Democratic politics going forward, my hunch is that Clinton will pay more attention to the platform than your typical president. This, I think, provides the case for what Bernie is doing, that by strongly endorsing Clinton, by doing as much as he can to bring his supporters over to her, by campaigning for her, mm-hmm. he essentially builds a different kind of leverage beyond exit. He can say, you owe your victory to me, and mm-hmm. thus you owe me something
for my
participation.
So you think he can sit on the outside, and he's saying he may even go back to being an independent.
Right.
So even outside the party, he'll be able to sit outside the White House and say, Madam President, if that's what it is, you owe me?
Right. I think that if Bernie Sanders follows his intentions, and so far he has, and campaigns hard for Clinton, and she wins, and let's say she wins with more of the youth vote than they anticipated, mm-hmm. I think Bernie Sanders will get his phone calls answered at the White House whenever it calls.
Juana, you think he'll keep that leverage? You've watched.
I do, and I think that to Jamel's point, that's what we've seen from Bernie Sanders all along. The other thing to keep in mind from a congressional standpoint is that if a Clinton win in November can help Democrats retake the Senate, Bernie Sanders stands a chance of having an incredibly powerful place in the Democratic-controlled Senate, despite the fact that he is an independent mm-hmm. who caucuses with the Democrats. He could have a powerful committee chairmanship. And I think that, coupled with being able to say that he helped deliver a win for Hillary Clinton, puts him in a really good space, despite the fact of not being quite where he wanted to be in the White House.
Here Bernie Sanders was on Sunday talking with CNN's Jake Tapper, saying his progressive movement is anything but dead and has already influenced Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party.
I'm proud that in the Democratic platform that was passed a few weeks ago, we are making some real progress. We're talking about breaking up the large banks on Wall Street who have been ripping off the American people for years. Hillary Clinton and I reached an agreement on a higher education plan.
Will Hillary take that support? You bet she will. Here she was when he first endorsed her candidacy July 12th in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, emphasized her slogan, Stronger Together, and tried to there embrace Sanders supporters.
And I'll tell you, these aren't just my fights. These are Bernie's fights. These are America's fights. And I feel with all my being, these are fights we have to wage and win together.
Certainly, that sounds true for winning the general election, if that's in the cards. Tom in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. Tom, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
I've been a long-time Bernie supporter. I switched over to Hillary when I saw that really she was going to be the inevitable candidate. And I'm just flabbergasted at the Bernie Sanders supporters that would rather stay home or support Trump when they really see that, they should see that Hillary Clinton was very progressive. And when you look back when she was first lady and when she tried to put forth the health care plan, it was ahead of its time. And it's really what Bernie Sanders is trying to do now. So she was ahead of herself. And very progressive, and I think that the progressives nowadays need to realize that.
Tom, let us pick it up. You know, Juana, it's hard to convince some people. I mean, you look back on the Clinton years, the Bill Clinton administration, and its hallmark was being centrist. But our caller, Tom, raises a point. He says, look, there was Hillary trying to push through a big health care plan back then, which you would not call centrist, and that was certainly progressive at that time. Does she deserve the full centrist label that is on her? Is she? I kind of think she does.
I would tend to agree with you. That said, I do think that with having a candidate as far to the left as Bernie Sanders in the race, he has successfully pushed her in by in turn there, the Democratic platform, significantly further to the left. The thing I kind of grapple with here, though, is whether or not Sanders supporters should have to say, you know, she's progressive enough. A lot of these people, as Jamel noted, are people who have been outside the traditional party apparatus. They're not dyed-in-the-wool Democrats. So shouldn't it be up to them to decide whether or not a candidate is progressive for them rather than being told that they should or they must vote for someone?
Ashley Andrews, is there something Hillary could say from the podium when she gives her speech later this week that would turn you on a dime?
I think that maybe if she could acknowledge that she sold out and really, like, have a sincere apology for turning her back. She did have progressive ideas when she was first lady, and she sold out. That's what happened. And that,
Ashley Andrews, hold the thought. I want to come back and look at that. I'm really glad that you're with us here today. Hanging tough for Bernie Sanders. We'll see how that goes in bigger numbers. Juana Summers with CNN, Jamil Bowie with Slate. I'm Tom Ashbrook in Philadelphia. This is On Point.
Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings home financing into the 21st century with a completely online process that's fast, easy, and convenient. Using a phone or tablet, you can safely share bank statements and pay stubs without having to dig through piles of paperwork. It takes just a few minutes to get a custom mortgage solution on your terms, wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point in Philadelphia at the Democratic National Convention, and we are looking on the morning after Bernie Sanders gave his big speech, throwing his support again to Hillary Clinton, at Sanders' support across this country and where it is likely to go in a general election this fall. It could be decisive. Jamil Bowie is with us, chief political correspondent for Slate. Juana Summers is here, editor for CNN Politics. Ashley Andrews is with us. She's a diehard Bernie Sanders supporter, Vermont delegate to the convention, who still has not decided what she'll do, Bernie or bust or something else. We'll be joined in a moment by Representative Raul Grijalva, who was the first member of Congress to endorse Bernie Sanders. You can join us as well. Sanders supporters, where do you stand today? Republicans, what do you see in this Democratic family feud? Is it somehow like your own, Trump v. Cruz, but in reverse since your insurgent won? And will the Bernie or bust people give the election to Donald Trump? How does this end? Last night we had Elizabeth Warren on the stage. Of course, she's been a very big Bernie Sanders supporter, as earlier endorsed Hillary Clinton. Here she was making that argument to the crowd last night.
If you believe that America must work for all of us, not just for the rich and powerful. If you believe we must reject the politics of fear and division. If you believe that we are stronger together, then let's work our hearts out to make Hillary Clinton the next president of the United States. Thank you.
Jamil Bowie, there were cries of "we trusted you" from the hall at that point. I mean, again, it gets to something very deep here. You were just saying in the break, transactional politics, the idea that sometimes you have to make deals to get things done, not popular among many in this community.
Right. I think with Warren especially, there is a case of mistaken identity. If there's anything that defines Warren's political career, it is a very transactional approach to achieving her goals and principles. And so she'll cut deals to get the CFPB. She'll do what she needs to do to move the ball.
The Consumer Finance Protection Board.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She'll do what she needs to do to move the ball forward, because that's sort of how politics happens. The fact of the matter is that you are engaging in politics, you're engaging on a field of equals. You're engaging with people who have just as much leverage and just as much influence and just as much democratic legitimacy as you do. Bernie Sanders, for much of his political career, has kind of existed a bit outside of that. He was an independent in Congress. Mm-hmm. He was not known for sponsoring big pieces of legislation, of cutting deals. He wasn't a Ted Kennedy type. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even a Barney Frank type, representative who is very liberal and yet was interested in this sort of transactional deal making. And so I think what has sort of happened here is Sanders has brought his style of politics, which is very much centered on having an ideologically coherent message, to the national fore and attracted lots of people for whom that is popular. But in the process, figures like Warren and other sort of liberal legislatures have kind of been mistaken for that kind of politician when they really aren't at all.
I mean, the fact is, on the campaign trail, though, Bernie very much encouraged this rejection of transactional politics. He didn't talk about making deals. He talked about revolution, about turning it over. I mean, this is what he fired up, Juana.
That's exactly it. And I think that's been the difference that voters were faced with in the Democratic primary. Are you looking for the candidate who wants to work within the system to effect change, or are you voting for the candidate who wants to burn the entire thing down? Not to make too big of a pun on that, but I think that when I talk to Democrats, that's kind of what they're seeing there. And a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters, they want that other side. They believe that the system isn't fixable and that we need a new one. And that simply doesn't jive with the way that traditional Washington politics works and that governance happens in the Capitol.
Yes, Jamil.
What's interesting, though, is that Bernie Sanders is from Vermont, and Vermont is a state where people like their guns, and so throughout Bernie Sanders' career, he has been willing to say, "I'm not gonna push so hard on the NRA because I want to maintain
they like their guns.
I want to maintain those voters and have the broadest possible electoral base." So he's not a stranger to these kind of politics.
Yeah.
And I think what we're witnessing this week is the extent to which he is comfortable doing this if it can maintain his position of influence.
And now he's trying to meld the two together and say, "Look, the deals we have to make are part of the revolution. We got to go out and make it happen across the country."
We have to focus on the issues. We have to elect progressive candidates all over this country, running for the Congress, running for the Senate, running for school board. But we must defeat Donald Trump and elect Secretary Clinton.
That was Bernie Sanders on CNN's State of the Union on Sunday. Ashley Andres, are you prepared to go out and get into the political dirt here and you know, do the deals to try and move the ball forward, to mix up 17 metaphors, you know, the way politics often really works, not pure revolution?
So I'd like to disagree with the previous statement that we want to burn the whole thing down and that we don't think that it works, we need a new system. That's never actually been Bernie's message ever, which is what made it compelling and doable. It was that we just are honest, that we expect honesty from our politicians, that we expect transparency from our politicians, not that we destroy the entire system, but that we address corruption. And I'm actually running for Vermont House of Representatives, and I plan to be a candidate who always speaks the truth. I'm going to say what I mean and do what I say. And if that doesn't get me elected, then that doesn't get me elected. I don't
You're taking the Bernie challenge right into politics yourself if you succeed at that. So, all right, I get it. You are indeed willing to get in there. Ashley, stand by. Tim in Nashville, Tennessee. Tim, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Thanks a lot. I just feel that Bernie traded an apology for being cheated out of the election for an endorsement on Hillary. And I don't know where I stand right now. I may end up voting for Trump because if I can't get a fair shake from one side and the other side just wants to watch the world burn, who am I to stand in the way?
That's a pretty nihilistic way of looking at the world. Where do you feel so cheated that you would head in that direction, Tim?
Well, all the emails that came out on WikiLeaks this weekend, the scheming, the planting of people in Bernie's camp, plans to try and take his views down, try to get him to, they were doing all sorts of things in all of those, shown in those emails that it really wasn't a fair competition. And if it was a fair competition and he lost fair and square, I'd be fine with it. But I just don't feel that it's been fair to him and to his campaign.
Tim, I appreciate your call from Nashville. Jamil, what do you say?
I've read many of the emails, including the ones that have been sort of stated as the most explosive ones. Mm-hmm. And reading them carefully and looking at them carefully, mm-hmm. I think what I can fairly say is that there is no evidence of concrete or substantive intervention in the Democratic primary on behalf of Hillary Clinton in the way that I think is being alleged by critics of these emails.
Wasn't there some that was just out in plain sight? The debate schedule.
So, right.
Was
so,
that not evidence enough or alone?
The debate schedule was agreed to in the fall. Like, most of these emails are between January and May. The most explosive ones are in May, so we're talking about months after the primaries have happened. And I think the thing that highly suggests that there was no meddling is if you were to look in January at the demographics of the race, you could actually predict the exact outcome of the primaries. A state with 10% African Americans mm-hmm. or more, Clinton wins it. A state with 10% African Americans or less, Sanders wins it. And that's basically what happened.
That's amazing.
And so either the DNC is extraordinarily incompetent in changing the outcome, or there just wasn't really any meaningful or substantive meddling outside of...
So you found it more attitudinal than concrete, than instrumental.
This is not saying it's okay. The DNC should have strived for neutrality. Griping and suggesting attacks is not okay. But when we're thinking about what actually happened, what was there anything that happened that resulted in fewer votes for Bernie Sanders than he would have otherwise gotten, I think that's an extremely high evidentiary bar to clear, and it hasn't been cleared.
I don't know what the general consensus would be if you sat in a room full of stone cold Bernie supporters and tried to make that argument.
They would yell at me.
I imagine they would. They sure yell on the floor. They yelled yesterday. They yelled all over the place. They feel they've got a real beef. I want to turn in just a moment to Representative Raul Grijalva of Arizona. Here he was in a Bernie Sanders ad for Sanders in March.
I'm supporting Bernie Sanders for the simple reason that American people are craving a change. The American people see their paychecks frozen, cost of living go up, the future for their kids is uncertain, opportunity is closing in on them. Bernie's responded to that craving by laying out a program and being bold. He's a change agent, has been for 33 years.
Congressman Raul Grijalva from Southern Arizona. He joins us right now in Philadelphia. Congressman Grijalva, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate the invite.
It's good to have you. You turned around. You are now a supporter of Hillary Clinton. Many Sanders supporters are struggling with this turn. Why and how and when did you decide to make it?
Well, I was the first member of Congress to endorse Bernie. Wasn't that many of us at the end, anyway. And in the process, hung on there till after D.C., after that primary.
Yep.
I think it was important to finish out the primaries and to remain on the team until that was done. After that, and after meeting with key people in Burlington, after D.C., you know, people came to their own conclusions. And I felt that it was important, given what was in front of us, and given the fact that, Bernie was not going to get the nomination, that we begin the process of coalescing and trying to influence the now presumptive winner, Hillary Clinton, her campaign, her platform, and get behind that, and that's what I did.
Congressman, you've seen the passion all along in the Sanders campaign, in site after site around the country, and certainly here in Philadelphia. In the streets, in the hall last night, you hear the boos and the cries and the cheers and the almost wailing for Bernie Sanders. We have on the air with you right now is Ashley Andres. She is a Vermont delegate for Bernie Sanders, and she's not been able to make the turn that you have. What do you say to a Sanders supporter like her, who just can't bear to do it, who just can't bring themselves to go for Clinton?
You know, one of the beauties of this democracy of ours and the fact that the vote that we have as citizens to use is proprietary. It's ours. And as such, it's her vote.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm not here to broker. I'm not here to engender that you the fear of the alternative. And although that's palpable to me, that I'm not doing that. I just really think that, you know, having been around long enough to understand where progressive politics were basically shuttered and put away for 15, 20 years, not only within the Democratic Party, but as policy initiatives and legislation overall.
Some would say shuttered by the Clinton administration.
Well, you know, shuttered at, the Democratic Leadership Council and their eventual takeover of the DNC was to try to find that center and to try to the superdelegates as a tool was to try to keep candidates, a.k.a. like McGovern, from prevailing in these primaries and in these conventions. I think that is completely turned around. The Sanders campaign helped with that, but I think we'd also reach a tipping point where progressive politics were no longer seen as outliners, not seen as fringe politics, but indeed part of the whole. And here we have an opportunity with Clinton campaign to be part of that. I think it's going to be a very, very close campaign. I don't underestimate Trump one iota. And as such, you know, the vote of the young, the votes of communities of color, especially those communities that have underperformed, like the Latino community and Native American community in past presidential elections, young folk, and progressive folk, community people that are in the activist community across this country, can be and should be an important margin of victory for Hillary going down the stretch. And that's where I'm focused. And you know, I remember I was in, I think, Nevada talking to Bernie delegates. I spent a lot of time in Nevada during the primary. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And one delegate said to me that he wasn't going to be pushed by me or anybody else into taking to supporting Hillary out of fear. And I told him that that's his prerogative. But that I did have a palpable fear for Donald Trump, what he represented to this nation, and what he particularly did by singling out and dividing communities based on race. And that as a representative of a significant number of people of color, that it was my responsibility to be part of any effort to defeat him. And I don't think Hillary is as simple as the lesser of two evils. I think you have a real choice here, and I think we have a real choice to, as progressives and as people that were part of the Sanders campaign, but beyond. I mean, progressive politics wasn't invented 18 months ago. It's been around for a while. And I didn't need an epiphany to get to where I'm at. It's just that we have an opportunity to influence and to move. You know, there was a great column today that on Bernie's talk that it was a high wire act between the idealism and then sometimes in the business that we're in,
yep,
which is electoral politics, which sometimes doesn't mesh well with the activism and the community-based organization. Mm-hmm. There's a rub there occasionally. That it was a high wire act with a significant dose of pragmatism.
Ashley, are you persuaded that under Hillary Clinton, with Bernie Sanders in the wings, the Democratic Party could be a vehicle for real progressive change?
I don't know. I really don't know. I want to believe that. I really do, and I think it's a possibility, but I just don't see what she lacks that Bernie has is the passion. And you can feel when Bernie speaks that he really means what he says and he really cares. And Hillary comes off as almost robotic, and it's really hard to imagine someone like her really identifying the issues, the progressive issues that we need to work on.
Ashley, hold the thought. Juana Summers, how much rides on this?
I think quite a bit. Hillary needs these supporters, so what they can do here in this room to win them over is crucial.
The convention hall will go on working this. Who knows what the level of booing will be today? Who knows what the vote will look like tonight? Bernie Sanders supposed to officially nominate Hillary Clinton at the end of it. Congressman Raul Grijalva of Arizona, we're very grateful to you for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Ashley Andres, Vermont delegate for Bernie Sanders, thank you for joining us, Ashley.
Thank you.
Jamel Bowie, Slate's chief political correspondent. Jamel, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
And Juana Summers, editor for CNN Politics. Just terrific to have you with us today, Juana.
Thanks, Tom.
Listeners, we'll be back with you all this week on the convention. This is On Point.